Blog Talk Radio.
And everybody should know that's how love goes. It's good for the soul.
Oh, I got a long way to go, but it won't stop the pain. No, no. That's the kind of thing that keeps me coming back again and again.
Till I see your face. I
As you think about that, you know, we really want to dive into, is it possible to achieve your old self? Is it possible to get over things when you don't like the answer or have the answer or get the closure that you really want when something happens in your life and you need to move on? And so that's what's going to be on the table tonight. And so we'll move from there. So you know how this show works. We always open up with some facts here, and I you know, it's a heavy subject, so I thought I'd look for some of the, you know, craziest things out there.
She said crazy.
Yeah, because this has to do with, you know, laws, non-human related, you know, issues. All right? Okay, here we go. So the first... The first fact that I thought was funny when I saw it and I tried to research it, it says that, did you know, for real, billy goats urinate on their own heads when they want to be smell more attractive to females. So when they're ready for a partner and, you know, they know about the competition and the, you know, the females are, you know, there, you know, they do that to make themselves more attractive.
Nope.
What the?
Nope. 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 Nope.
When I read about the history of this, I thought, you know, how many of us go out of our way, right, to find partners, to do things radical. Surely if the billy goat can do something radical like that, you know, what does that say for us humans? Hey, Zachary. Hey, Angela. Welcome to the show.
Let me just make sure I got this right.
Yeah, come on with it. Come on.
You was off a whole week, and you come back with billy goats peeing on their own head. That's literally what you say back here with.
The reason is their smells are more attractive to females. So their thought is to do something to attract the female goats.
Let me say this again. So again, you was gone for the whole week.
Yeah. You wait till the next one.
You left here Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving, giving us all the stuff to be thankful for. You took off last week. You had, exactly, Felicia, what's the topic again? I know. Left here last week, week four last, mm-hmm. As old folks say, week four last. And then you come up in here today, and the first thing out your mouth is the goats peeing on their heads to attract the female goat.
To smell more attractive.
To smell more. So it ain't no guarantee, but it's just to smell more attractive.
Well, obviously it works if God has placed it on their hearts to continue.
God
to do it.
Placed it on the goat's heart. I want to know which pastor going to try to preach this on Sunday. God placed it on the goat's heart.
Yes.
To pee on his own head.
Yes.
So he that could find a wife. Is that
right.
That's what you're trying
find
to tell me?
A good thing.
This is what the Lord said.
Yes. Okay. Come on now.
Okay.
There's a lesson in that.
I'm so hopeful that there is somewhere in some language.
All right. We got to keep it moving.
Okay.
You got
that,
it.
That,
so the
that
next
was your,
one here.
That was, you got another one?
Yeah, I got another one.
Oh, God. Okay.
So in the 16th century, right, did you know that Arab women could initiate a divorce if their husbands didn't provide coffee for them? So the history, right, back in this country, men in Turkey judged the efficiency of women through their skills in coffee making, right? But then the women could also divorce her husband if he could not provide her with daily coffee. So if you're going to judge me on how I make it, the least you can do is make sure I have it every day. And if you don't, guess what?
You said this used to be a law.
Yeah, that was in the 16th century.
That you could divorce the wife could divorce the husband.
In Turkey.
For not providing coffee.
Correct. Because coffee was huge, right? It was huge back then, and there was a whole, you know, there's a whole history to coffee in that country. But it was saying, you know, in the midst of all of this, women had some power back then. They had a little, you know, say-so on some things. And, yes, if you cannot provide coffee, you know, on a daily basis, then, you know, you could be divorced. What's so funny?
I'm trying to really. I'm over
here. Do you agree with that? It was the law. It was.
Well, coming from the guy that's been divorced twice, I mean, it don't. You know, I didn't know I could use coffee as a reason.
No, you have to look at the history, right?
Huh?
You have to look at.
I didn't know you could use coffee as a reason.
It was something that was a staple. As a matter of fact, it was a huge uproar, you know, because they said when people, you know, the men consume coffee, they get to talk a political and make a decision. So it was huge back then.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but also the women had a little power with it,
mm-hmm.
right? That you can file for, you know, file for a divorce. All right. So, yes.
If he ain't providing coffee.
Any coffee drinkers out there, see, I think you have to be a coffee drinker, a lover of coffee, to understand, right? When people don't get your coffee right,
I need you.
You just want to go off.
Sometime before this show is over, I need you to send me the link for whatever you found that mess.
You know what? When I researched it was multiple websites.
Multiple websites that confirmed.
That provided the history.
That in the 16th century.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That women could divorce their wives, her husbands.
Yes.
For not providing coffee.
Yes.
Y'all pray for Dr. Thomas.
Yes.
I understand.
Just fast forward to now. I understand.
Felicia said, I'm glad that ain't in America because I don't get breakfast done until about 1:30 p.m. and I'm still married. You know what, Felicia? First of all, that's a whole other type of conversation. Because breakfast time ends at 12 noon.
It does.
Huh? Lunch is noon. Breakfast.
That's a long breakfast.
Huh? Lunch is from anytime from 5 a.m. to 12 noon. Lunch starts at 12 noon and goes till about 4 o'clock.
All right.
And then... supper or dinner starts about 6.
Okay.
And then as long as you know.
Okay.
Late night snacks start at 10 p.m. Come through now, Jesus.
I have to say is coffee.
I am so lost right now.
I understand. Okay.
Hello, Sheridan S. Davis, Patricia Lewis, Frida Turner.
Hello.
Oh, and P. Black. What's up, PJ? Better late than never. Single for 10 years, still not. Felicia, I'm so glad you tuned in to the show. You make sure you stay tuned in.
Hey, she know what it takes. She's Ooh, successful thus far. You
Lord.
Keep it up. Keep
Lord.
It all up. All right, so here we go. Those of you who are joining us, go ahead and share this live, if you will. We're going to get into talking about the topic about closure and healing, right? And so I thought about this, and I said, okay, many people go through a lot of things around the holidays, and there's a lot of reminiscing that goes on, a lot of expectation that tends to be a higher than normal or typical. Throughout the year. And so I find that, you know, the show about mental wellness and mental health, that a lot of people struggle when they don't have closure to circumstances or events that happen in their life. And so when I began to dive into this in the profession of counseling, you know, we can't set people up for disappointment in counseling, right? So people come in and they have expectations about getting answers to their circumstances, whether it's a person, whether it's something that, you know, happened across human nature, and they don't get it. And so counseling is not to set a person up to go and get that exact closure that they want, but there still is a healing process that must take place. And so I want to dialogue tonight about what actually is closure, right? And does closure include accepting that you won't have the closure that you want, right? And so we talk about closure, and closure means that you're able to let go of something that once was, right? It implies that you go through a process of acceptance for what has happened, and accepting the outcome, accepting the transition that you have to make now that this element has either taken something away or added something to your life, and you have questions. And so, you know, I posed a question last week, and it asked, do you need closure to start the healing process?
Mm-hmm.
And majority, over 70% said yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what happens? Does that mean you can't get back to a happy life or have inner peace? Right. That's joy. Have an inner peace if you don't have closure. Right. And so you that are watching with us, you know, let's dialogue about that. How do you get closure? How do you find the definition of closure to where you can move past something that's hurt you or set you back or something that unexpectedly occurred in your life? And so there's some things I want to put out there, like what type of closure do you need under certain circumstances? So, of course, we have the huge one. What happens when you have a relationship that you thought was going well, and I'm talking about an intimate relationship, and this person says, hey, this is not working for me. I need to go out of this relationship. I need to end it. And it takes you back. It takes you to a place where you begin to question your worth. You know, and in the extremes of these, obviously I see, you know, and on my side, is people really going to an anxiety-driven, depression-driven mindset where they try to answer the question of what did I do wrong to make this person walk out of my life? And that thing plays like on repeat, right? For a long time, I've seen people, you know, come in with years that have gone by without having an answer to this question, and it really, you know, puts them in a position like, what's the answer, right? Well, can I even accept, right, the reason why that they walked off? And so that's kind of where I want to start with. When you talk about closure from a relationship that you may have thought was going well, or you may have thought that it wasn't that bad, right? How do you get to a closure where you can move on and have successful dating or a peace of mind? So what are your thoughts about that, Mr. Producer?
Okay.
Can you just say hello, please?
Yeah. I think closure is good. I'm one of those people who think people get caught up too much on closure.
Okay. Meaning?
I think people use... I think people use the lack of closure to not move on.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that. I think closure
becomes a scapegoat. Closure becomes a self-imposed handicap.
Okay.
Because you're saying, I can't move forward because I need to know... I need to know why that happened, or I need to make sure that it's actually over.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but are those valid feelings, right? So when you have a relationship that ends, officially ends, right? So this person says, yes, I'm not with it anymore. It's just not working. You know, no, I need to leave it. Are those valid feelings? right, are those valid feelings to question, right, your role or how well you fulfilled a role, and you know, what was it my fault, right? Did I do something? Did I not do something, right? I think we all go through that process at some point, but then you ask yourself, how did I get stuck?
Okay.
Right? Why am I stuck here, right, in this particular mindset? And you come to the realization that I just need to know this answer, right? Because, you know, my heart was there. I put an investment. That's what you hear a lot of times, too, is the investment that you put in a relationship, right?
Right.
Now, what happened? Right. And if I don't accept the answer that I'm given initially, then I go through the stage of, was this relationship ever authentic? So if I say, you know, it's me, right? A lot of times we hear that it's me. You know, they said they needed space. They said that they said they needed this. But if you don't accept that answer, you still go to another level, right, of emotions that said, okay, I don't buy that. So whatever it is, it must have been awful. So you take it up a notch, right, that it was just, I was just that bad in this relationship that they don't even want to tell me the truth. You put it as though they're not being honest with you, that it could have possibly been that it was on them, right?
Okay.
So
okay.
How do you get past that? If, you know, if you say you intentionally stay stuck, right, because you want an answer.
I think there's nothing wrong with wanting an answer. I think the problem is when you put your life on hold while trying to get an answer.
Okay.
Because a lot of times I've come to understand that people will sit somewhere waiting for an answer and be missing out on opportunities because you haven't gotten an answer yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess the conversation then leads into, does the person you want the closure to come from, do they have to give you the answer?
Not necessarily.
Right, but that's where we tend to get stuck at is,
yes,
I need to hear it
from
that person, right? Like you need to explain to me, you need to call. And that's, you know, we kind of get into where a person, for all practical purposes, start to engage in behaviors such as excessive calling, emailing, texting, all these different forms of communication with just tell me what's wrong. Just tell me what's wrong. Just tell me what did I do. And now we end up, again, in a more severe position where this person is like, okay, you know, this is why I had to leave.
Okay.
So you understand, this
escalates
to where what potentially was a process you needed to go through on your own right now involves another person, to which they're using the here and now, right, to say, okay, what you're doing right now is why I left. But that's not necessarily the case. They just need you to step back, right?
Right.
And say, hey, you go through your process, let me go through my process.
Wow. Okay.
Right. And you think about that, you say, okay, how do I step back and obtain closure on my own?
Okay.
Is that easier said than done?
In some cases, it is.
Okay.
In some cases, it is. But I think it is. I think it is doable, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Some people require other people to point out to them that it's done. Others see it immediately. Some people see it immediately.
Okay.
Yeah. Felicia says, fix my okay. She says, I don't believe in closure. I just think you have to accept it and move on.
Right. And how do you get yourself to moving on with unanswered questions and unaddressed feelings?
Everything you're not going Okay, let me read Felicia's comment because she mentioned it before. Felicia says, I recently had a conversation with a person that I had an issue with. I mentioned this on your show previously. There was no sorry, but I found out there was a miscommunication. But time had passed and we both have grown. I got closure, thankful for time I shared with her, but we'll never be close as we used to be. I think it depends on the amount of hurt.
Okay.
The amount of hurt is what generates, I believe, the closure.
Hmm.
I think if it was something minimal, you move on. If it was, like you said, if it was a 3-4-5-year relationship,
okay.
Whether it be intimate relationship, friendly relationship, whatever, you know, if you guys were friends for years,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden, like Felicia said, it based off some miscommunication or something like that, you fell out. I think at some point you want to know why you lost your friend.
Right.
So I understand that. And that's something that can tug at you for a while if you don't find out
mm-hmm.
why you lost your friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that also leads into you asking yourself the question, what or whom are you holding on to?
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So if that relationship meant much to me, or that person, right, I now have to grieve the loss, which I may not be wanting or desiring to do.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So mm-hmm. so we have to ask ourselves, you know, when we're searching for closure and we're not totally accepting what's taking place, what are we holding on to?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And especially if it's someone who we've known for a prolonged period of time, or it's, you know, something where we're used to it. We don't feel like starting over. We just don't get right all this we've been through. I just don't want to let go. Right. How,
mm-hmm.
how do you? And that's hard to analyze. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was a relationship, a friendship, you have to really examine what part of that relationship am I holding on to?
Mm.
Right. What part of that friendship? What part of that level of intimacy, meaning being in an intimate relationship, a partner,
mm-hmm.
what am I actually holding on to? So if I've been in a series of bad friendships or relationships,
mm-hmm.
and I say, this is the one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was going to last a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Now I begin to think to myself, I can't find this in other people.
Mm.
So I hold on to whatever that is, right? Whatever
mm-hmm.
or whomever that is,
mm-hmm.
I hold on to that I don't want or
mm-hmm.
I don't feel
mm-hmm.
I will ever find again in life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we have a hard time letting go. That blocks, right, the process for obtaining closure is when you can't let go, right? You can't let go of that. And so Felicia says, I think we hold on to expectations. Okay, and we have to be realistic and let people off the hook.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's grace right there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Can you have grace for people who hurt you?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Can you let that go and they hurt you, accept that they hurt you, and move on with your life?
Wow.
Right. That's hard.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
That's real hard. That's real hard. All right. And so it says here, does holding on truly make you happy? Or are you hanging on to the situation the way it once was, or the way you wished it had been, instead of how it actually turned out?
What was the question again? Hold on.
So when you begin to look at what's happening, right,
mm-hmm.
trying to achieve closure,
mm-hmm.
but you say, I can't find closure, I don't get it. It
mm-hmm.
says, does holding on make you happy?
Mm. Sometimes it does. Sometimes people hold on a lot of times people get stuck holding on because they don't believe there's anything else out there. So they would rather hold on to something not fruitful,
okay.
than to be without it, and because they don't have a fear of being alone.
Right.
Yeah, they'd rather hold on out of a fear of being alone. They'd rather hold on to. That's part of the reason why some people stay in abusive relationships.
Yeah.
I don't want to switch the whole show around, but that is a part of the reason why some people stay in abusive relationships,
mm-hmm.
because they don't want to. They feel like, well, you know, it ain't that bad.
Correct. Right. Yeah. Right. And even with you know. How can I say this? These they call it situationships,
mm-hmm. Situationships.
Okay. Right? Where I'll accept that you don't want to be in a committed relationship with me,
mm-hmm.
and I'll settle for, right, being friends with benefits.
Oh.
Because if I don't want to face the real reason,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
Or I don't, mm-hmm. I'll take what I can get because the rejection is.
It's better than being alone.
Why you got that rubber band?
No, it's like a stress ball for me. Yeah, it's a stress ball. That's interesting. Okay.
But guess, you know, this whole situationship is being used a lot.
Okay.
And when you think about that and you listen to people who, and I say that because many people are choosing this as a means of, I'll take whatever type of relationship I can get as long as it keeps me, you know, connected to this person in some way,
mm-hmm.
Because they've not addressed their past issues,
mm-hmm.
right, of rejection,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's kind of like, you know, you talk about healing. There is no healing sometimes with a person who's not, you know, closed off or begin a process of examining, have I truly recovered from those past relationships? Because now I'm accepting whatever comes my way.
Well, that's what Bernice Johnson says. She says, you have to know that we are all different. You don't always get closure. You have to learn to forgive and go on with your life.
Right. And, you know, when we talk about forgiveness, that's a powerful word that most people equate that to telling a person,
mm-hmm.
that they forgive them. And it's really not.
No. Right. You forgive them before you ever get the words out of your mouth.
Right. And
if you ever get the words out
correct.
Of your mouth.
Correct. It's not necessary.
You forgive them the minute you've made up your mind that you want to tell them you're sorry.
Right.
Or that you forgive them. The minute you make up in your mind
right.
that you forgive them, you're forgiving them.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, when you think about closure,
mm-hmm.
right, and I believe that when you are ending something, a chapter of your life, as we tend to call it, you must go through a self-examination period.
Yeah. I think that's where the mistakes come in, though. We jump out of one thing and go immediately into another.
What? Why do you think that's so?
Oh, Lord, that's a whole other show, ain't it?
It will be.
Okay. I think it's that fear of being alone. I think it's that fear of or lack of companionship.
Okay.
So we can, and I don't know if, and again, I would love to see some statistics on it. Who is the larger perpetrator of the two,
okay.
men or women? Are you in a long-term relationship and you jump out of that long-term relationship and then move directly into something else immediately? Or how soon?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of times I think that's because of somebody is lacking or has that either feeling of I don't want to be by myself or I need to have a companion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
never giving yourself time to
right.
heal, dissect what just happened, closure, not even if you get closure from them, giving
right.
yourself
right.
closure. Yeah.
Right. And when you talk about jumping from one event to the next, such as relationships,
mm-hmm.
Oftentimes people are trying to avoid dealing with the loss.
Okay.
Right. And the void that creates. So when I hear people say, I just don't want to end up lonely, right? Living a lonely life. That's huge, right? Because that's
mm-hmm.
different from being alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can be at home alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't equate to feelings of loneliness. If I'm a person where I ultimately feel that, you know, I don't like feelings of loneliness or I equate that to not having a companionship,
mm-hmm.
I'm always going to jump from relationship to relationship, right?
Okay.
Just to avoid dealing with the loss.
Okay.
Which means then what happens to that person who consistently experiences bad relationship after bad relationship or bad friendships, meaning that, you know, people search for new friendships at any point in their life, but they search for friendships to automatically become best friends.
Mm.
So as Felicia stated earlier, that set of expectations for, you know, at this stage, if we meet someone, you know, new, we're not necessarily saying, hey, this is about to turn into a best buddy, a best friend relationship. But there are some people who have lost friends, genuine friends, and feel like I have to have a huge circle of friendships.
Okay.
Right. To feel like I belong, to have a sense of value. But in reality, they needed to take a step back and examine what just happened in my life. Right. Right. Did these friends pull away because of something I did, or do we have our own lives where we're doing things separately, so we don't talk as much as we used to? Right. Or where, you know, someone gets married, someone has children. We tend to equate distance with rejection.
OK.
Right. Okay. And so it really gets to, when you think about people who are experiencing depression, anxiety, sadness, feeling of loneliness, just excessive worrying. And it's all about a sense of being loved, feeling respected, feeling valued. That self-examination is non-existent. Right. Is it as extreme as you see it?
But that comes back to the original topic of the show, the closure. We will jump and go into something else, and bad relationship after bad relationship after bad relationship, because that closure that we're seeking could have possibly given us the education to avoid said bad relationships coming forward. But because you never had somebody tell you the truth, like, for instance, you know, let's say you crazy.
I told
you. Oh, you said don't say crazy. You did say don't say crazy. Okay. You said. Lance Glaber Ellis, God bless you. Oh, there's a bunch of people that popped on here. Anita Allen, God bless you. Cedric Connor.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Yvette Quinones, Cedric Ford, Jacqueline Woods Johnson, Lynette Dingwall, okay. Michael Giles, Daniel DJ. What's up, Danny McGee? It's my best buddy in the whole world. And Lance Glaber Ellis, God bless you, sir. They're coming on here. You could never listen to somebody finally tell you what's really going on with you, or you don't believe it, so you just keep jumping into the relationship after relationship after relationship, not knowing what's going on.
Right, because your closure turns into seeking validation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Okay. Hey, Pastor Lance, how are you? Your closure turns into validation. So when you seek validation, you lose that, right? You lose that sense of self, right? And so when you lose sense of self, you lose sense of purpose, you lose sense of desire, right? For and when I say being responsible for behaviors, I mean being responsible for selecting people in your life that work in your best interest.
Okay.
Right. And so this is how, you know, you get swayed, right, and find the closure. We start doing some things to ourselves, right, that can get us into some serious mental health issue.
Okay.
Right.
You
know, and that's something where in the clinical realm, we examine what happened thus far to get you in this position of I need closure right now. I haven't gotten it in 10 years. I keep getting in and out of this. I keep experiencing that. I keep losing jobs. It's like a domino effect.
Okay.
Right? The domino effect happens when, you know, you don't begin to take responsibility for your actions when you don't have the closure that you want.
Okay.
Right? Pastor said, I'm going to remove my middle name because you done said my
You're talking about me.
Why I think that was me.
You know, I'm like Anchorman. I just read what's on the screen.
Oh, God. All right. So, come on, you all. Post those comments. Now, I see you on here. I see you, you know, you tuning in. Let's get this conversation going about closure or holding on, you know, to things that you shouldn't be holding on to that can hinder your healing process. And so, you know, one of the things you said earlier, Pastor Dana, was Pastor Dana, did I just speak something into existence?
Let's move on.
Okay.
Bring that, tried that, didn't get the T-shirt.
Don't do that. It says here, are you using the holding on as an excuse to stay stuck and unresolved?
I think some people do.
Right? Are you using, in other words, are you dwelling on the past taking you away from moving forward towards your future?
It's easier to hold on to some to that hurt than to move on out of fear of possibly being hurt again.
Okay. So it's almost like, what battle do you pick?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to trust the devil I know.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I rather stay and deal with these demons over here than to
Well, I'd rather be sitting back and just be mad that you left and just stay mad and then push everybody else away.
Okay.
And not even give them an opportunity out of the fact that I'm yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, do you all feel like it's easier or is an excuse to stay stuck or unresolved when you're holding on, right, to things that you know, you don't have an answer for, you're dwelling on the past? Now, here's the thing: sometimes though, I agree. People are totally thrown off, right? You know, when people walk out of your life, right, or you lose a job that you've been on for X amount of time. And you're just like, okay, what happened, right? If there was a downside, how did I become, right, in the first group, you know, to be, you know, let go? I mean, there's so many things that can happen in our lives that leave us in a place of shock.
Now, I'm going to just say the two names. Lance Ellis said closure must take place. He's saying that it
must take place.
That it's got to take place. He says you can't properly heal if doors are still open.
Okay. So we're saying.
And he going biblical. He is. I mean, I get it. But I mean, you know.
So we're redefining options for closure, right?
Because that's what it sounds like.
My options for closure has to be I accept that I won't get the answers that my heart desires. Can that be an option for closure? Right? That I can accept that I won't get the answers that my heart desires. Right? That's because that happens a lot.
Okay.
But people don't accept that.
Yeah, because I'm not getting the answer that I wanted.
But that's where we are at this day.
And because I'm not getting the answer I want, I don't have closure.
Correct.
See, and that's a problem.
Tell myself that.
Right. Even though it's closed.
Correct.
You know,
yes.
But I often use the analogy. I know I'm a preacher, so I'm supposed to use the word illustration. But I often use the analogy of that's like you going to get you're working at a job and they tell you, you go to a meeting at your job, and you go to this meeting with the hopes that you're going to get an answer that you want, asking for a raise or whatever. And then in this meeting, all of a sudden they tell you, not only are you not getting a raise, but we're going to let you go. Then what happens is you got closure.
Right.
It ain't what you wanted, but it's closed. Now, in your mind, I'm going to fight this to the whoever. I'm going to the EEOC and everybody else. No, bro. It's closed. It ain't what you wanted.
Right.
But it's a wrap.
And I think that, you know, I'm all for protecting your mental state, meaning if my heart, you know, I'm not in a numb place as a clinician, right?
Okay.
So I know that all around us there are tragedies, even with employers who, you know, things are happening on the job, in our schools. I never get numb to that as a clinician. And so each time I hear that, you know, my heart goes out to the distressed person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Distressed meaning I'm actively in something,
mm-hmm.
and my emotions are overwhelming, and I'm frustrated, and I'm angry, right? Because I don't have the proper answers, right? So now I do destructive things. You know what I'm saying? And so what that means is that, you know, how do I let go? Because the past becomes the past when it happens.
Yes.
Right? So if I lost this job, it's now in the past, but when do I start the healing process to get over that, right? Okay. When do I stop dwelling on the past, right? To say now I've shifted into looking at my future and how I can build a better future.
Okay. Maybe what he said, then we see if we can get some a better answer. He says closure must be a mutual definition before we move forward. The parties involved must understand what closure means. And if Lisa says forgiveness and acceptance is letting go of the notion that what happened could have been any other way than what it was or is, closure.
Right.
And then Lance Ellis says, I think your soul will something. I'm assuming he was answering your question.
Okay.
Or when do you know? I think that was the question, when do you know?
Oh, gotcha.
And he's saying,
okay,
I think your soul will. So
okay,
he's speaking specifically from a and I ain't mad at you. He says, I think your soul will define the closure. He can't help but preach. See, that's what happens when you're a pastor. When you're a pastor, you can't help but preach. He sees a preacher moment. I'm gonna tune in to their service on Sunday. I bet you he be talking about closure.
And you know what we want to take from this is I want, you know, to people to look at, you know, we're closing out the year, right?
Yeah.
Closing out the year, and to that should come some things you say. I've gone through some things this year. I have to accept what happened to me this year because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to go into 2020 with it.
Mm.
Right. So. If I actually tried to speak with someone to get an answer and I didn't get it,
mm-hmm.
I now need to position myself to say I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that person who walked off that job that let you go, those friends who said, you know, I just don't want to hang out with you anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, there's so many things to where we need closure at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not before you, the closure is I need to start the process of accepting,
mm-hmm.
right, that this is now a part of something that happened to me in 2019,
mm-hmm.
and I need to close the door on it, right? And in looking at that from the perspective of what does letting go really mean?
Okay. Okay.
Right, because a lot of people say, I let that go,
mm-hmm.
and they really don't.
If you guys want to call in, I'm sorry, let me put the phone number in there. She said it earlier for those of you just tuning in. The call-in number is 323-870-4375. That's the call-in number. You can talk directly to Dr. Thomas because I ain't going to say nothing. 323-870-4375 is the call-in number. If you want to email the show, you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. For more detailed information, all that good stuff. And then if some of y'all really, 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 really want to reach out, just send that email, and then we'll forward that over to Dr. Thomas, and y'all can go lay on her couch. Amen. I wish she ain't on the couch, but I'm just saying.
You have comfortable chairs.
Brother Ellis, see, I didn't tell you, I took off his whole first name. He says, I'm dealing with this right now.
Okay.
He says, we're dismantling fear and tearing down walls of every kind. Yep, they lied. They didn't let it go. Wow. What if I said this? If I said closure was necessary, but not mandatory.
All right. Okay. It's necessary.
What if I said closure was necessary?
All right.
But not mandatory.
Do we still get back to it equates to acceptance.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's exactly it.
Of that which I have no control over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That which I have no control over, yeah, I accept. Yeah.
It's necessary for me.
In my heart.
But it ain't mandatory that I get it.
Correct.
From you. It's not mandatory that you give it.
All right, I'm with you.
But it's necessary,
right,
for me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all.
All right.
That's what just, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I like that, Reverend.
That was spirit-led right there. Y'all don't hear it right there. That was, I felt that down in my, oh, my shot.
I know.
Mandatory on whose part? I'm saying that it's not mandatory on the person offering closure. We as the offended party feel that it's necessary to get closure, but it's not mandatory that the other person give it.
Right.
Because we can't make nobody do nothing.
Right.
Right. So we have to accept, back to what you said, accept whatever it comes, however it comes out.
Right. And you know, let me tag this, because closure also comes from when you lose someone that passes away.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So you know, especially if it was a situation where you expected a healing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, especially in our culture, when we talk about spirituality and religion, we sometimes set people up. If you pray and you pray and you pray, God will heal, and the healing doesn't take place in how you see it. Right now, you begin to question God and your relationship with God, and you know, some people, you know, again, y'all, I'm on the clinical side, pull all the way back from their belief in God and trusting Him that this was His will, right?
Okay.
And so some people, when you talk about dealing with grief, that the closure that they're seeking is what gets to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily dealing with the death of a loved one, but it's the closure that they're seeking that they did not get. And as we've been talking about, what happens when I don't accept, right, the terms under which this person left, or the way it turned out.
But what choice do you have?
Because
we done closed the casket. And done put the and done dropped the rose. We done gave the benediction, and I have what is it that we do at the y'all help the preacher out at the cemetery? We have committed the body. What else you want to do?
It's a heart thing.
Exactly.
Right.
But I mean, but we have folk. There are people walking around right now.
Okay.
Who still are seeking closure from folk that been gone for years.
And let's be clear, the closure is unanswered questions.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't want, you know, we're not saying you should be over the passing of someone. We're talking about where the unanswered questions interfere with your day-to-day. The unanswered questions, you know, interfere with you moving on with your life. And again, you know, this is all about mental wellness, where grief, we call it complicated grief, right? Where they're really trying to figure out, how do I get back on track from coping with this loss, where I have unanswered questions about the how.
That's good.
Right, because we all know that as humans, we live to die at some point, right? The Lord has an expiration date for us. But in between that time, life is happening, and I got stuck.
Okay.
I got stuck at, okay, I'm not feeling this, right? And I need to know how and why this happened like this.
Lance says, Reverend Lance say, man, listen, he said, this is so true. Closure is necessary for the wounded first. The wounded must forgive long before the apology / closure.
Right. Right.
So if you don't, let's go back to you saying the person has gone left here. If you didn't forgive that person before they left here,
right,
then you are going to be carrying this weight of them hurting you, and ain't nothing you can do to them. And then what happens is you end up taking out that you never were able to talk to them and say to them what you really wanted to say. So now you take it out on other family members. You take it out on other people.
Okay.
And you know, it goes back to that. I got so tired of hearing it, but it sounds so true, especially for this topic, that hurt people hurt people.
It, you know, one of the biggest things I found with grief is that there are some times where the deceased family or a close friend did not tell them they were sick or had a condition.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
And so that closure, it takes its toll on people in a way that, you know, I promote counseling, obviously, where the processing of that, right, the processing of the why didn't this person tell me they were battling this or going through this.
Yeah.
All I know is I got a call. This was told to us, and then this happened.
Right.
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 And so I need to know the again, that's that why and the how. Like, why did they do this? So the anger, which is a stage of grief, gets to, I'm angry at this person, right? I'm angry that, you know, the doctors didn't do this. So it's, we have this list mm-hmm. of people that we become angry at. And some of those people I can't get past my anger with,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. So how do I deal with that where the circumstances were so abrupt and they just, you know, they kept it to themselves.
Okay.
Right? Why didn't they trust me enough? What was it, right, about our relationship that they didn't want to tell that they were going through this, and now they're not here? How can I grieve and be angry with the person at the same time? How can I, you know what I'm saying? How do I forgive,
yeah.
but yet I'm angry?
Be mad under the circumstances that they left.
Right.
Right. You left me here with all this mess.
Right.
Right.
And that happens a lot.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes with suicide.
Sudden death.
Right.
Yep,
right.
Absolutely.
With suicide and
mm-hmm.
the, you know, wait, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You left, right? I didn't get the chance to say this, or, you know, I just needed you to hold on a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, when you talk about the closure is, absolutely, I will not get the closure from that person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Right.
When a person has gone on, no life is there.
Right.
How do I set my mindset up to say, the reality is I will never have it. Maybe somebody else down the line in a couple of years, we may reconnect some way, or they
mm-hmm.
write me a letter or
mm-hmm.
do something, you know, whatever. But with a person that has gone on, I have to set my mindset up that I would never have the answers that I want.
And we got to be okay with that.
We have to absolutely be okay with that.
So Lance Ellis says, so is forgive and forget the biggest lie ever told?
Mm.
Wonder Rice singing, what's up, sir? God bless you. Come on, man. Come on in, man. Come
okay.
on in.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, where in scripture
Uh-oh.
Does it says forgive means to forget?
It don't. It, forgive and forget is not in the Bible. It's not.
Right.
It's something we were told as children. Is something we, at some point I remember as a kid, I almost thought it was one of the commandments or something, because forgive and forget, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, and then it's like, wait a minute, no bro, that ain't how that works.
Just imagine, like, you know, you process this, because as humans we really are not created to forget.
No.
Right?
No.
God didn't design us. That's if wisdom is based on learning and experience.
Come on. Talk now.
Then how are we forgetting
Come on.
That which is supposed to teach us and make us strong?
Come on. The reason we don't touch the hot stove is because mama said don't touch it, or we've touched it and remembered what the burn felt
right.
like, so we don't touch the stove. We didn't forget the pain.
Right.
Don't make me. Y'all gonna make me.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Pastor. Yes, I think you're onto something.
Yeah.
That, you know, we don't want to set people up to say that forgive means to forget, because we have to look at that literally, right? Because people took that literal. People took, if I say I forgive you and I'm moving on, that means I need to forget what you did to me. And that's not the case, because if it's a bad relationship, I need to be smarter. If it's a bad relationship, I need to look at myself and the behaviors, right, that put me in a position. If I said to myself, I said I would never get in another relationship
mm-hmm.
like that again,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I forget
mm-hmm.
that which, you know, I had to forgive, I'm going to end up in another bad relationship.
I prefer live and learn.
Okay.
Lance says, forgive and forget is a characteristic trait of our Creator.
Okay.
It's His characteristic trait.
Got it.
Right.
All right. All right.
Thank God He made us a little lower than the angels. Huh? Scripture says that the Father will forgive our sins and remember them no more, not mankind.
Right.
See, that's in the book. Make the book talk, sir. Make the book talk.
We'll That's collect
good.
The offering at the end.
Huh?
Okay?
Come on. What's your Cash App? Send him. Y'all go ahead and send him a dollar or two. Put your Cash App out. Don't do it. Don't do it, Reverend. Don't do it. Don't do it.
All right. Felicia says, one of my family members betrayed me with the money issue. I forgave her, but I also established boundaries. Absolutely. I would never do business with her again.
See?
Right? And what that essentially means is that you're not mean to her. You didn't cut her off, right? Because sometimes I hear people say, you know, my closure was, you know, I just cut that person off for years, and mm-hmm. I didn't speak to them for years, and now you're still bitter about it, you're still groping, and you're still like, I bet not ever see them again. That's not forgiveness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right, you know.
Put his cash up there. You can't tell a preacher to put his cash app up. Let me tell you something right now. It'll go up real quick.
That is funny.
Whatever you get, send Dr. Thomas her cut. You on her airtime. You on her
airtime. Lord help the people.
You on her airtime now. You share.
So, yeah, Felice, I absolutely agree with that. Like, you set up boundaries, right? Forgive is forgive. There shouldn't be an and forget, because that sets you up ultimately for failure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because people who come in, you know, with unresolved issues,
mm-hmm.
base it on forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, why do I keep thinking about this? Why is this still on my mind? Shouldn't I be over this? You know, why am I stuck here? Because we planted this phrase of, once you forgive, that you forget it.
Yep.
And when we talk about closure, that means that we have to understand what closure feels like.
That's good. You're talking good now. Come on.
Right? Mm-hmm. Closure feels like, well, if you made a hard decision in your mind, because closure is work.
Yes.
Right? You don't just say, okay, I now have closure. No, there's work mm-hmm. that goes behind closure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the first one is, you know, owning up to, right,
mm-hmm.
how you're going to act thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you've forgiven someone, right, that means you stop stalking them.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. That's what that means.
Yes.
Okay, I'm asking you for clarity.
Meaning, when I say that, I mean, and this whole social media thing has got, you know, that it has its ups and downs, right?
Yes.
To it where, you know, we say, I'm over it, right? You know, I forgive them because I have to move on for myself. But then you're stalking the Facebook page, the Instagram, the Twitter, right? You're sending them, you know, emojis
mm-hmm.
through texting, mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff you have going on. Just to keep contact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fact.
Right?
Fact.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot of blocking going on. Or, you know, just I hear, you know, and my heart goes out to this, because when I hear a person spending so much time trying to track someone that they can't get over. The mental exhaustion in that takes
mm-hmm.
place.
Yeah, the amount of energy spent trying to hold on to something that is closed.
Right.
You know.
But as long as I can keep my eye on them, right?
Right. But I think sometimes we need to point that out to people in a way. Sometimes I think we, and maybe you can give me the better word for this, you're the clinical professional. But we overanalyze things to people to the point where they just they don't get it, or they sometimes confused.
Okay.
But it's kind of like when you go to when I leave here.
Okay.
And I want me some rib tips, and I go around the corner around there to the Honey One place, and the Honey One man tell me we close. Now, for me, I don't have closure because I wanted them rib tips. However, ain't nothing that I can do. And Honey One done told me, look here, Doc, you ain't getting them today. You can come back some other day. But see, that's not helping me. The store is closed. You don't stand out there until tomorrow when they open. See, that's what stalkers do. See? That's what stalkers do. We need to make it just as plain. When it's closed, bruh. And when it reopened, it ain't gonna be for you.
Right. And let me just add, you know, you may need to add some more restaurant options.
Come on now.
Right. So you know, when that was not closed or it's not meeting your needs, right? You say, okay, I accept it.
Right. Just don't go to Lamb's. I'm sorry. You might use them as a sponsor
see,
at some point.
I
right. I don't want you to mess up your sponsorships. I want that old soupy sauce. Vinegar everywhere. I'm
okay,
sorry.
Felicia
stop.
Says, you think every post is about you. If you have to delete, do it to move on. Absolutely.
Wow, that's good.
Absolutely.
That's good.
I mean, Felicia, I hear people create
yes.
Additional Facebook pages. They mm-hmm. do the instant, mm-hmm. you know, the DM, direct mm-hmm. messaging. It's a lot that goes into that, but they're so serious with it. And I think, you know, that's what for me is, you know, these individuals are searching for answers or reconnection that they go by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so another part of closure is accepting what you lost.
Ah, okay. You get good now. Come on.
Right. Uh-huh. So accepting what you lost is easier said than done.
Hmm.
Because you now have to say to yourself, I don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you never had it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. You mm-hmm. know, and that's a difficult thing to process, because now you have to say to yourself, because of this loss,
mm-hmm.
how do I need to adjust my life?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. But you have to accept
mm-hmm.
that you lost it. You have to accept that this person no longer wants to be in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You accept that loss. Accept that, yes, the time you spent with them, you now have to replace something with your time.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the reality side of it is, if it's a person that you need to have closure with, which equates to grieving the loss, getting the loss. Now you look at, okay, the time I spent with them, what will I do? Right. That's a fair question. If you spent an ample amount of time with someone, what now do I do with my time?
This is why I say this, and help me out. I had a long discussion with some people about this, especially people who are in relationships. And the debate or the discussion was should your mate also be your best friend? And the reason I said
your spouse
or whoever, I don't care what you have, y'all want to call it. Should your spouse, we can stick with spouse,
okay.
Should your spouse be your best friend? I said no.
Okay.
And the reason I said no is, if you have a best friend before you get married, and they have been your best friend for umpteen years, and you just met somebody the other, you know, last year, 2 years ago, okay. And y'all get married, yes, she is your wife or he is your husband, but they're not your best friend. Because what happens is, when something goes wrong in the house, or if you need to just talk to somebody and you don't feel comfortable talking at home, you should be able to pick up said phone and call best friend. And the reason I said it is because we can get so wrapped up in that spouse,
okay,
or that mate. That's why when they decide to up and go, or when they leave, now you go, well, what am I going to do with my time? Well, where are your friends at? Because we have a bad habit of cutting off. Watch this. We cut off. I'm not. And again, I know I'm probably going to.
You're not
again,
about to get.
Again, this coming from the. This, look, this coming from
you're
the two. Look here. This coming from the two. This coming from the two-time divorcee over here. But I'm just trying to tell you, I don't think you have a life.
Okay.
You have a life, and I'm not saying, and your wife should be, and husband or husband should be allowed to be around said best friend. But at the same time,
yeah,
if something happens and that wife or husband leaves you, whether it's through divorce or through tragedy, these people that you cut off because you were married, now you ain't married. You know how, you know how back in the day you get booed up. Now you ain't got time for your friends. You get booed up, and then when you and Boo Boo ain't no longer, when you and Boo ain't together no more, now you want to call your friends. What the hell are you calling me for?
Did you just sleep with Lord? Come on, y'all.
Y'all pray for me. Let me read some of these comments.
Yeah, you get to read the comments.
Let
now
me
read
see.
The comments.
Zachary, let me go back to the earlier comment. Zachary says, "Let's see,
Lord, God help him. I know, when I hit a nerve, y'all, we get the fight off the hell word.
Let me go all the way back. Felicia says, you can't get closure from people who don't care. That's real.
Okay.
Regina Scott says, yes. Zachary says, this forgive and forget is not in the Bible. However, there are several verses commanding us to forgive one another. A believer who is not willing to forgive others will find his fellowship with God hindered and can reap bitterness and lose huge rewards. Forgiveness is a decision of the will. It is a conscious choice to obey and forgive. Your offender may not desire forgiveness, and they may not ever change, but that does not negate God's desire that we possess a forgiving spirit. Ideally, the offender will seek reconciliation, but if not, the one wronged can still make a decision to forgive. Lissette said, absolutely. Felicia, almost crying to Regina, hey, best friend. Felicia says, yes and yes, your spouse should be your best friend. Felicia says, leave and cleave. Lissette says, when I had to see closure in my life, I had to spend time working and focusing on me. That helps with the stalking syndrome.
Okay. Come on, help me out.
So
that's my thought.
I think if we stick within the context of the expectation, so when you hear that your spouse, let's be clear, your spouse.
Right, not
your
baby mama, spouse.
Should be your best friend. I think that we've not clearly defined what that actually is, right?
Ah, okay.
Because what you just defined was replacement.
Mm.
So once we get married, or we're talking about marriage, and now you ask me, am I your best friend?
Okay.
Right? Now, there's some qualifications that come with being a best friend.
Absolutely.
So if we were dating,
there's some investment in that.
If we were dating for a couple of years, and now we want to get married, does that automatically qualify you?
Come on.
To fit in the seat of best friend?
You ain't been through the fire, huh? You ain't been tested. Can't call you best friend.
I wish y'all could see his face. He didn't grab some candy. I know that. So listen.
I've had this discussion.
It gets to, and when you think about marriages that end, and that closure that comes, like, okay, if we set it up where your spouse should be your best friend, so now you have to grieve the loss of a spouse, a lover, a companion, mm-hmm. and a best friend. That's a lot to grieve.
Come on.
Right? But I think it's possible. I think best friends do get married. I think it's possible, but I think that we've made it to where it's mandatory, as you said. I think we've made it to where we set up from societal standards that who you marry must be your best friend. Because
you said best friends do get married.
Yes.
But that does not mean that you marry your best friend.
You look at you, what's that term? I figured out something.
Felicia said, I love Dana, but I plead the fifth. I do not agree. She did call me Dana. Ain't that wonderful?
That means you lost some brownie points. Well,
I did, right? She ain't called me Reverend, Prophet, Apostle, Bishop. Look, I didn't even get called Usher. Janitor, custodian. She just said, she called me like she thought, like my mama, Dana.
Huh?
No, but I look at, because it does not, that doesn't mean that relationship with your spouse can't grow into that status.
I totally agree.
But that person who, and I'm gonna say it like this: I'm gonna put your business on screen. You have been married?
No.
You have not. Okay. Now, Felicia.
I made it to. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Bless the Lord. That's another show. That's a whole another show. But I don't believe I have. She said now she's gonna say the right reverend. That's okay. I ain't gonna excommunicate you. We still love you. It's one of those things where there are people who have best friends. Because here's the issue. What if your best friend is male?
Wait, and you are
male. And your best friend is female. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
There's a problem there. Now, I can understand if a female has a male best friend. I can see where there could be a conflict there from the husband's point of view. And same thing with the wife. If the male's best friend is female. Right?
Yep.
But, you know, I can tell you like this right here. And I got witnesses. Well, the first one didn't know her. But my last ex-wife knew who LaTanya was. She knows that that's my best friend in the whole wide world.
Okay.
And they tight.
Okay.
And I don't like, look, I'm mad that they hang out. Yeah.
We going to silence you.
I was just saying.
So here we go. Get back to the comments.
Look, because them two still hang out. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's one of them things where that friendship don't change regardless of who new comes into the picture.
Do you need closure?
I'm good. Oh, no. I closed when I signed the papers. Matter of fact, I was closed before the papers were signed.
All right, so get back to grieving the loss, all right? To get closure, grieve the loss. And then the next stage we shift into is finding your strengths, right? Think about the positives that can come out of, right, losing whatever it is you lost, right? Really, really, it's almost like how do you gather yourself, right? What did this experience make you or has the potential to make you a better person?
Okay.
Right. When you think about the resilience you had, you know, this is hard sometimes in counseling where, you know, you go through a period of someone's life and you're like, okay, right. How do you find the strength? How do you find the positives in a situation that they said has devastated their life?
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's just shattered their world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to help them find the strength that they have, right, coming out of this fire.
Absolutely.
Right, which gets to, you know, now we have to tap into support networks,
mm-hmm.
right? And, and my mind went back to that when you said, if when you got married, you excluded everybody, right?
Yes.
So now there's a time where you have to get through this storm, and not necessarily ending in divorce, but you're shaking,
right?
That there's a system that can help you with some of the things that's happened that you trust, right? The right people. So making sure you surround yourself with people who know you well, and it can encourage. You don't want people who will help you wallow.
Come on.
In sorrow, self-pity.
Yeah.
Even those phrases of, you know, I would have left that a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Or I don't see, you know, what you saw in them anyway.
Mm.
Or I would have never, you know, taken that job. Or just all these elements, that does not help a person.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, that's not a support system for you if you are surrounding yourself with people who give you what you shouldn't have done.
Wow. That's good.
You need to find a new network. Right. There we go. Thank you, Regina. A positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I need strength based people around me. I need the people who can anchor me up to say there are brighter days ahead.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So one thing with jobs, a lot of people, you know, going to careers where, you know, it's not for them. And so they begin to lose a lot of things. So financially they start to struggle, and we have to figure out, like, you know, how do you get someone to face that? Maybe they can make different decisions about their future. You want somebody who will, you know, challenge you to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Challenge you to look at it and say, hey, what can you do differently? What can you look at right within yourself to say, if I step back and think realistically about this, I can tweak this.
Okay.
Right? And that's important, because if you don't have people who can have those honest conversations with you, be a help to you and not a hindrance, right? Not somebody who passes the blunt. That's another thing, you know. This weed that's about to become, you know, legal. Now listen.
Oh, Lord.
This is not the answer to your problems, right? This is not going to be how we relax and, you know, handle our emotions.
That ain't gonna work?
No.
Okay.
don't go about this CBD oil, you know, talking about I'm going to be okay, you know, with my emotions,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I put that out there because we tend to use substances, right, when we're going through something that sometimes, you know, some of my friends say, hey, let's just go get a bottle. Mm-hmm. No. Right, we need to look toward the future. We need to surround ourselves with people who are going to uplift and encourage us, right? Mm-hmm. And so another thing is understanding what truly brings you joy.
Okay.
Right? What brings you peace of mind?
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this, Elder.
You're obsessing people with your weed comments, but okay.
That's all right. I'm going to help somebody. That's okay.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
The numbers go down.
I saw about 9 people. I saw 9 folk just get up and look and put their offering envelope back on the thing.
I'm just saying.
I saw some folk.
Okay.
It's time to go. You ain't like this church.
That is.
I'm tired of the church. That's what I heard him say.
Stop it.
Okay, go ahead.
So, well, I forgot where I was. Hold on. All right, here we go. Felicia says, my ex-husband blessed me. He said our relationship did not work because we were not right for each other instead of we are bad people. Closure. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Very good. Okay. So listen, right. We want to shift into how do you know you have inner peace? So when you're seeking closure, meaning attempting to move on and accept that mm-hmm. which happened to you,
mm-hmm.
don't seek happiness from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in essence, there is no other person that's going to make you happy when you need closure.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what's out there these days? A lot of dating apps.
Uh oh. Swipe left.
Listen, the dating apps.
You know what that is? You know what that is? You know what that is?
You know, Lord help the people.
You know what that is, do you?
All I see is a disco ball.
You know what that is?
What is this? Lord, somebody. Felicia, I don't know if that's house music. Because the way he over here moving in his chair, I don't know. Is that Christian? Is that Christian Tinder?
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
I took too long to get to the good part.
Anyway, so searching for inner peace does not come from other people.
Yes.
It comes with your mind being settled,
mm-hmm.
right? It comes with you understanding that your life still has meaning despite what just happened,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I often, you know, have people just pausing to mm-hmm. say, focus on you. You know, I think that if you can get yourself to settle down and press pause
mm-hmm.
from searching for happiness in other people or things, then you will find peace of mind.
Come on.
Right? No person can give you peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? There's nothing you can buy that will bring you peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that comes from within. We mm-hmm. then project outward, right, to say, no matter what's going on around me, I still have joy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Because mm-hmm.
Joy is the emotion, right? Happiness is a feeling,
mm-hmm.
right? I feel happy, right, you mm-hmm. know, when I'm around people that yeah. bring me good energy.
True.
But when those people are gone, guess what? My joy
right.
is still on the inside. I right. don't become unhappy, right? I don't lose my zeal for life.
Come on.
Because those people are not, you know, they're gone on to their homes or whatever else. I'm happy. I have joy regardless.
Right.
Right. So that's where we are, is with closure, understanding that closure, the feeling of closure comes when you acknowledge that you are trying to achieve peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? That's
absolutely
the goal.
Absolutely.
The goal is, I want this and I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that means I may have to stop doing some things that jeopardizes my peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if that means that, you know, I have to stay away from certain places because it's a trigger of anxiety, sadness, or depression, then I need to not go right into the presence of or go to this place. A lot of times we try to stick around. You know what I'm saying? With that, a lot of people try to hold on to family members of those who, you know, don't want to be in your life no more.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that doesn't work for your peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have to let go of some other people possibly,
mm-hmm,
just to achieve the closure and the peace of mind that you want.
Absolutely.
Right. And then plan for your future. Right. Let's be clear that a part of your closure process is planning your future. Mm-hmm. What goals do you have now that this has happened to you? Write it down. It's too many things out there for you not to have a vision plan.
Yes.
Our phones are equipped with, you know, was that Quick Notes or whatever, you know, type
right
of phone that you have.
Right.
Pencil and paper still works. Right. So you need to post these goals around your house to remind yourself,
mm-hmm,
I'm moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Positive affirmations, telling yourself, I'm over this and this is how I'm over it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I love myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I understand that, you know, I can move forward,
mm-hmm,
aside from the circumstance. So closure is a process. It's not something you just wake up and say, OK, I got what I need. You know, I no longer feel these emotions. No, you actually need to work on,
right?
You need
right
to work on maintaining those positive emotions, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, that's where we are with that. And so, let's see here. Felicia. Oh, Smoking It Out. House music. Now, is that the song or is she we reverting?
She was giving me the name of the song.
Oh, okay. You know,
playing.
Felicia, you had me, you know. We're going to go spiritual. You know what? Really? Really? Felicia, you set me up for that.
Yeah, put it in your peace pipe.
You set me up for that. Felicia.
Come on in here.
Oh, sorry. I was ready. Huh?
Unbelievable.
Come on in here. I'm sorry.
Lord have mercy.
Woo! Woo!
So Jeremiah 29 and 11.
You sound like the pastor when everybody's trying to get their praise dance on. The pastor up there, I will trust.
Wait a minute, do we?
We trying to shout in the law.
Oh God!
We trying to juke, and you talking about some Jeremiah?
That's
okay,
Felicia
come on. Felicia, I'm gonna talk about that right now. She talking about
this. That comes from him. Lord have mercy.
Oh, God.
All right. So, yes, here we are. All right. The understanding is that closure,
mm-hmm,
how we thought previously or how society or how we learned closure to be, to come from someone else,
mm-hmm,
that closure is not needed to start your healing process.
Mm-hmm.
Your closure needs to be in your heart. That you accept whatever it is that has happened, that was or was not said,
mm-hmm,
right? That person may or may not, right, be in your life. That is the closure that is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
What's not mandated is that it comes from an outside source.
That's good. See?
Right?
I saw how you took that necessary and that mandatory and put it together. I saw that. That was... kind of slick on your part. I ain't mad at you, though. I ain't mad at you.
So,
How about?
You know, and I think this is so needed right now, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. a lot out there that society is dictating how we handle life,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, yes, you can move forward and forgive a person and them not ever know it. Are you expected to forget? No.
Mm-hmm.
You're expected to put things in perspective,
mm-hmm.
right, and gain the life lesson from it
mm-hmm.
to help you become more strengthened and more, you know, a brighter future, meaning you plan it, right? You mm-hmm. you and the Lord, his will ultimately is what needs to be done, all right? And so I just want to thank you all
Go ahead, you want to put the robe on?
Taking it there with us. Absolutely. What's coming up this week? So today is Tuesday. We have Lissette coming on Thursday with Grindology. Did I say that? Don't do that. Don't do that. Grindology. I'm going to say Grindology. And I like that show, y'all. She gets it right.
I do too. She kind of good.
Yeah. On point. So check that out on Thursday at 7.
Mm-hmm,
all
mm-hmm.
right. And then Friday we have mm-hmm. Praise Break.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday is Missional.
Missional Monday.
Slash.
Yellow Radio.
You know.
All that. Yeah.
Shout. Yes. All right.
All that. You got to, I'm going to lay the groundwork.
Okay. Lay the groundwork.
Lay the groundwork. Because you'll be the one making the announcement on Tuesday. Because I can't make the announcement on Monday.
Okay.
For contractual reasons, I cannot make the announcement until Tuesday.
Okay.
So you'll be the first one of all of the shows on the TTLO Media Group to be making this announcement. So all I can tell people is save the date.
Save the date.
December 29th, 5 p.m., Ebenezer. Save the date.
Save the date.
December 29th. 5 p.m.
5 p.m.
I won't hear no excuses. That's, and you'll make the first announcement on Tuesday.
Okay.
Once everything
I'm
is.
I'm excited.
Yes, it's going to be huge. So, and I'm saying huge.
Huge. Huge.
Huge.
All right. Okay.
Huge.
Hey, and you want to tune in next week, too, because really, the other thing for next week, the men are taking over my show.
Oh, Lord.
Dr. Brown is coming on
to
talk about men and mental health. So
I'm going to take off that day.
No, you.
I ain't going to come in that day. I'm going to let y'all. Y'all trying to set me up. Who else coming?
Just him.
So how's it the men show?
You and him.
Where you going to be?
I'll be right there on that couch over there.
You're crazy. I mean, I'm not going over there.
About to say it again, y'all.
You're going to sit over there and talk. I can talk from over here.
Listen,
Linda. Listen. Linda. Listen.
I promise you ain't got it all.
Is that a formal term? Is that a medical diagnosis? You ain't got it all? Get where your paper come from. Did you get your stuff from Walmart?
Listen,
Linda.
So Dr. Brown is gonna be here.
That'd be Charles Brown.
Yes, Dr. Charles Brown. Going to be here to talk about men and mental health. All right? So, yes, I will be here.
And my name is Charles.
Float.
I'm going to get that lined up for him.
Every time I try to end this show, we have like the three Baptist closes on this show.
Right. I'm almost. Right. I'm about to take my seat. That means you got 20, that means you got 15 more minutes. I don't do that, though. I don't do that.
God.
That's why people say I ain't all the way Baptist, because I don't do that. When I say I'm closing, it's a wrap.
I don't want to hear it, right? don't even mention you closing it if you don't have three. Oh, God.
All I need is some baggy jabos.
smoking it out now.
Well, you're the one I'm trying to help, the people that you love.
Rightfully, may the Lord watch between me and thee.
You do know that's a curse. You didn't have that.
You didn't say that already. Okay, that's a Baptist clothing.
That is not a Baptist.
You said you're not Baptist, so therefore you don't believe in may the Lord
now
watch.
One for him. Okay, whatever. I'm done.
All right, great people. Until next week. All right, tune in. We have a big announcement.
Yeah,
watch right. Thursday. My girl Lissette coming on.
Right.
7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in. Taking the Limits Off Media. And then Friday for Praise Break. All right?
Right.
You all have a great evening. Enjoy the rest of your night.
And everybody should know that. How love goes, it's good for the soul.
Oh, I got.